But good morning. Again, we're one church in multiple locations, Fullerton, Irvine, online, Espanol, and soon to come to Anaheim. Come on, welcome everybody who's watching this online. God is good. And this morning, I am thrilled to continue a message that we started last week regarding prayer. And we're beginning a new series here entitled The Power of Prayer and how vitally important prayer is in our relationship with God, but also in us having God intervene in our lives. So if you would grab your Bibles, remain standing, and let's go to the book of Acts chapter number 12. Acts chapter number 12. We're going to continue the passage of scriptures we've been studying here. And when you walked in, they handed you a piece of paper that the points to the message as well as the verses that we're reading. If you're watching online, we'll put a link there and you can follow along with us. And you can take some notes. Note takers are world shakers. Come on. We like to study the word at Freedom House. And so Acts chapter 12, verse 1 through 5. And I'm really excited about this series because my prayer is that this series just breathes a fresh wind into your personal life as we start prioritizing and realizing what prayer is all about. And so it's going to be great. But as you turn your Bibles to Acts 12, I just want to make mention, Pastor Marie asked me to let you know, ladies, that Women's Conference is this Friday. So it's about 6 days away. And I'm telling you, it's going to sell out. Word on the street is these tickets are hotter than Taylor Swift's tickets. Because you get Jesus on this one. Well, you know. Right. So you want to get there. It's already about 85% full. It sells out every year, and so you've been warned, and we don't want you trying to, pirate tickets outside or something. Come on, you know what I mean? So just get your tickets, get your ladies there, and I'm sure the ladies are going to have a powerful, powerful time. Amen? Acts chapter 12, verse 1, we're going to read through verse number 7, and what I want you to see here is when Peter's in a bind, watch what the church does and how God responds. It says, it was about that time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to what? Persecute them. And he says, but had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. And everybody just look at me. We're living in a time where you will be persecuted for your faith, okay? Like where we are, as soon as you say who you are for Christ, people are going to persecute you. And I just want to let you know is you're going to be okay. Okay, you're going to be okay. Someone puts a bad comment, you're going to be all right. Like, I'm being persecuted. It's just a comment. Block them. Hallelujah. Amen. Right? Okay. Like, just this is the times we're living in. It's not new. The devil's done it since the beginning of the church. But the Bible says this, that when you're persecuted for his sake, he says, remember, they're not persecuting because of you. He says they're persecuting because of Jesus. And he says the Beatitudes, blessed are those who are persecuted, for you will inherit the earth. I just want to tell you, blessing comes when you're persecuted. Keep standing strong. Say amen. Okay? Maybe your family persecutes you, but let's move on. It says, when he saw that this was met with approval among the Jews, proceeded to seize Peter also. And this happened during the festival of the unleavened bread. He said, after arresting him, he put him in the prison, handed him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. How many squads? Four. So I want you to notice there's like four squads just for one guy. It says here, Herod intended to bring him out to the public trial after the Passover, so Peter was kept in the prison. So here's Peter, but watch what happens. It says, but the church was earnestly what? Praying, not playing, was praying to God for him. I want you to see the picture. Peter is in a prison situation over there, but the church is praying right here. Come on now. And watch what happens here in verse 6. The night before before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. It says, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up, saying, quick, get up, he said. And the chains fell off of Peter's wrist. I want you to see that it was only after the church prayed that angels were dispatched. When you pray, angels are dispatched to do the work of God. I'm telling you, I'm excited for this prayer series because we're going to dispatch some angels. Come on, somebody, to do some powerful things. I want to talk today, part two of the message entitled Prayer That Brings Deliverance. Let's bow our heads and let's just pray. Father, we thank you, and In fact, why don't you use this moment right now for the next 60 seconds? Come on, start praying. Start praying. Say, Lord, dispatch angels, God. Send angels to bring deliverance to my children, to protection, to, come on, someone who's not here at church this morning. Come on, just pray. Because angels respond to God's people praying. God will send them to do the work of the Lord. God, come on, just pray. We pray for the people that are hurting right now. We pray for the neighborhood, Orange County. We pray for, come on, pray for your family members that are not in God's house today. They're stuck in addiction or some prison situation in chain. God, deliver them, Lord. We dispatch angels to rescue them, Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you, God. Move in our lives, God. Transcend time and space, Lord, and move in every aspect, Holy Spirit. We're asking you, God, to send angels to bring deliverance to Orange County, Southern California, and that we would prevail in the work of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Come on, give God a clap. So good. You may be seated. And just tell the person next to you, ask him, have you prayed today? Say that, have you prayed today? And then respond saying, yeah, I just prayed right now. Get off my back. Get off my back, man. Just joking. I want to continue here in this series. And I'm going to tell you right now, I feel so we're talking about the right things. Because when it comes to prayer, like I mentioned, it's about seeing God move in our lives. And there's one thing God created us for, and that's relationship. And so when we pray, we win. And so this series on prayer, I know is going to just lead us into a fresh wind of what God has for us. But I want to just really quick recap. Allow me for a few minutes to bring all our church into the same place, and I'll get into today's teaching. But I mentioned to you why we need to pray is because prayer, in definition, is an earthly request. Come on, we got people that pay attention. Is an earthly request for a heavenly what? Intervention. They're going to put it on the screens here. They didn't help you. They helped the first service. They didn't help the second service. Y'all are mean. Okay. Just kidding. It says prayer, watch this now, is an earthly request for a heavenly intervention. In other words, it's us saying, God, we're asking you to move in our earthly situation. Now, this is so important because God has left it into our decision if we want to invite heaven into our earthly situation. And here's the supporting verse on this theological statement. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. Again, allow me to recap here. Or 19, I apologize. It says this. Jesus said this, okay? Jesus is perfect theology. And here's what Jesus is saying to the disciples and to the church. He said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Who's he giving it to? Tell your neighbor, say, he's talking to you, okay? So I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And he says, whatever you bind on where? Earth will be bound where? So where did the binding initiate from? Earth. And what was the corresponding response? Heaven. So earth is bound in heaven. Then it goes on to say, whatever you loose where on will be loosed where? In heaven. He says that earth initiates and heaven responds. Could it be that you're not seeing heaven in your earthly situation because you haven't initiated or asked for an intervention? Come on, somebody. Good preaching. Thank you from the downtown in the back. Amen. Because sometimes we get so frustrated. Like, you know, it's just, I get so busy. It's like, so what you're telling me is you're too busy to ask God for help. How much sense does that make? I'm too busy to pray. So you're too busy to ask for a heavenly intervention. It's going to be a great series. I'm telling you, it's going to be a great series. Because prayer is an earthly for a heavenly intervention. And when we pray, we are inviting, saying, God, would you come into my earthly situation? Would you come into my home? Would you come into my children's life? Would you come into my mind, into my heart? I need more than what I have. It's an earthly request for a heavenly intervention. Now, why did God create it this way? Then I'm going to get into today's teaching. This is why. Because God has set it up to where you can leave him out by not praying. When we don't pray, we're basically saying, God, I don't need your help. I got this. Just pause for effect. That's what we're saying. And I'm telling you, there are two ways to do it. You could do it on your own strength, or you could do it with God's strength. Can I tell you which one is better? Can I tell you which one is more better? I know it's not a word, but I like it. Can I tell you which one is better? Let me tell you something. I've tried it my own way, and I haven't seen the best results. But when I did it with God's help, when I did it with God's power, come on. Anybody out there that can amen and say, Pastor, I know what you're talking about. When I did it, that's why we got to pray. And so in the verses that we just read, what makes this text so powerful is while Peter is in a prison situation needing to be delivered, the church was, Peter was over here, the church was over here, and they weren't even in the same space. But the church prayed, and what was happening somewhere else began to be changed. And what we pray for in your home, what you pray in your morning time, what you pray in church time, you will affect what your family member that's in a hospital somewhere, in another state somewhere, in another place somewhere, that when we pray, things change. So I told you God moves on behalf of those who pray, but here's number two, is God, when we pray, we walk under a guided covering. When we pray, we walk under a guided covering. Someone say guidance. I'm going to show you here because when the angel shows up, the angel's going to do something that God is showing us in this narrative that happens as a result of prayers. And the scripture says, let's take him from Acts chapter 12, verse 9, and we'll also take it to verse 10. Watch what transpires here. It says that Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea, he says, that what the angel was doing was really happening. Everybody look at me. When you start praying, the people you're praying for are gonna have no idea that an angel is bringing them out of freedom and deliverance. Come on, somebody. They'll be like, what's happening? God is working on the people. God works on the people praying. So he starts working, he says, and he's following the angel out of this, and he thought he was seeing a vision. Go to verse 10, and it says here, he goes, they passed through the first and the second guard and came to the iron gate leading to the city, and it said, and it opened for them by itself. They went through it, and when they walked through, the Bible says, the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him, but the Bible says the gate opened by itself. Oh man, Lord, give me focus here. But he says he followed the angel, and things started opening. He guided him. Look at me. When we pray, God gives us guidance. He guides you. That's why we need to pray. Because he'll guide you out of difficult situations. Prayer can either be the spare tire or the steering wheel. We can decide. And a lot of times people use prayer as a spare tire. Oh my goodness, we've tried everything. What should we do? I think we should pray. And it's in the trunk of our Christian lives. We try everything in our own strength. And oh my goodness, quick, pull out the prayer. In case of emergency, break glass. You know? When God's like, no, prayer is not the spare tire. Prayer is the steering wheel. Jesus, take the wheel. I can't do it. I try. Prayer's the steering wheel. That, in other words, it's not when I've tried everything, let me pray. It's let me pray so I take the right path. Let me pray so I go down the right road. Let me pray so I make the right decisions. God, guide me. Say this, say, God, guide me. But it's in prayer that you get your guidance. Now, I thank God for the information that we have at our fingertips. Like, we live in a generation that you can look up anything nowadays, right? You can find out. And I thank God, even Christian information, like you can listen to any podcast nowadays. And I thank God for books that you can read. I thank God for sermons that you can look up on YouTube. Like, I thank God for all that. I'm not belittling that. But let me give you some advice. Never make your resource your source. I'll say it again. Never make your resource your source. Where we go to the resources before we go to the source. Come on, somebody. We go to everything else before we go to the fountain that flows from the throne of God that's going to speak to my situation. Because there's going to come a time in your life, listen to me now or listen to me later and get marriage counselor and Pastor Tom. Amen. Okay, listen. You're going to come a time in your life where you don't need a resource, you need a Taylor word guidance for you. You need something that is only for you, that God needs to speak to you about, that you cannot get from a resource. You gotta learn how to get to the source. Someone say, I'm gonna go to the source. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to the source. Because you know how we are. We go to everybody else. Before we go to the source. Hey, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? You go to your friend. You go to your comadre. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Hey, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Hey, what do you think? You go to this person. Go ahead. Hey, what do you think? You Google, what should I do when he... Oh, it's good. That's a good message today. What should I do when he... I was reading something the other day. No, you just Googled it, bro. You know? We got no guidance. We're here we are. And especially on big decisions. Let me show you a verse that I pray is going to make you go to the source every time you need guidance. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Watch this, watch this, watch this. This is a good verse. The Bible says, however, as it is written, what no eye, come on, read it with me. What no, we have in Bible study, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived. So did you hear that? He says, no human ear, no human mind can conceive the things God has prepared for those who love him. Look at me. There are certain things that no human eye, no human mind, no comadre, no friend, no cousin. He says, they don't even know what I have planned for you. You got to learn to get into prayer and get to the source. Come on. Anybody want to go to the source this morning? You say, yeah, that's why I came to church. That's right. Because I want to go to the source. It's the Bible says that watch this, that he's telling you, listen, it's not, no human mind, eye or ear can see what God has. There are certain things that only God knows he has for you. And here's the problem, is we keep going to people that don't know your future. Ooh, come on, it's going to get good. Turn up the AC, it's going to get hot in here. Come on, there we go. We like, especially on life-altering decisions where it's like big decisions. But we're like, well, you know, and it's amazing how we won't ask God. Or we go to the person that we know is going to tell us what we want to hear. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not calling him. I'm not going to call him because I know he's going to tell me. So I'm going to go too. You know that person. I'm not you. I'm talking to the person behind you. Amen. It goes all the way back. Say, so here's very practical. I like to get very practical, okay? Very practical. When you get into prayer, how do you know that God's guiding you? Very practical. It's coming to God with moments, okay, super practical here, that are guiding you, not so much on right or wrong things. Like the easiest decisions in life are right and wrong things. Like you don't need guidance whether or not you should slap people. Don't slap them. Okay, you see how it's easy. Now, it's hard to control your anger, but how many know that's an easy decision, right? Those are not hard decisions in life. Those are easy, like, hey, please don't slap people. That's not nice, okay? You know? Like, you know what I mean? So that's not the moments. Can I tell you? I'm gonna help somebody today. The moments you need guidance, it's not right or wrong. It's between good and best. It's when you're like, I know I can do this, but should I do it? Should I put my energy into it? My resource, my time? Should I be fighting this battle? Because if you don't get guidance, you will be fighting the wrong giants. I think that's a tweetable, former known as Twitter X quote. If you don't get guidance, you'll be fighting the wrong giants. And the last thing I want to do is be trying to climb the ladder of life only to realize it was on the wrong building. It's, should I be in this direction? And that guidance makes you effective in life. Like, should you be dating him? Someone's gonna get a text tomorrow morning. I was in prayer. Turns out I shouldn't be. Come on. You need guidance. Should you be relocating? Should you be taking that job? Should you be? I know you can, but it should you. And there's so many people that jump into things, then live in regret because they never ask God in prayer for the guidance. I'm going to help you today. Come on, somebody. Amen. Someone say, I'm going to ask God for guidance. Book of James says it like this. It says, if any man or woman lacks wisdom, let him ask the Lord, for he gives it out freely. But you got to ask, or you have not because you ask not. A closed mouth can't be fed. Okay, you got to say, Lord, give me guidance. And so how do I know? Okay, very practical. Okay, if you're in here this morning and you're stuck with some big decisions you need to make, it's not right, it's not wrong, it's just should I or shouldn't I? These are the moments where they're the most, for me, the moments where I know I need to go to prayer. Like, Lord, I need heaven. I need to go to the source, y'all. And so I'll get into this moment of prayer. And what I'm looking for is I'm looking for a peace about it. So there's sometimes I'll go into prayer and say, Lord, should I be doing, like, taking on this brush? Should I focus my time on this? Should I? And I feel an unsettling. I just feel a no grace on it. Now, I should say this side note. You cannot trust your inner, your gut, so to speak, okay, would be a good way to put it, if you're not spirit filled. You need to be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's point, that's like started. Okay, so if you haven't confessed Jesus as Lord and you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, then that might be just bad sushi. Should I do this? I don't feel good about it. That's because you stood up till watching Netflix till 3 a.m. and you're all hangry and you're like, should I obey you, Lord? I don't feel good about it. No, it's because you got no sleep last night, okay? So let me just qualify the message and cover every stone, okay? And don't leave no stone unturned. And so you do realize that a big part plays in being filled with the Holy Spirit, of asking the Holy Spirit to indwell, asking, you know, to be saved. And then once you're in that place, you say, God, speak to me, Lord. Should I? And you will feel sometimes I want to do something and I won't feel peace about it. I'll feel like, no, that doesn't feel, no. And I got to be obedient to that. But there are other times I'm like, Lord, should I? And I just start going, I mean, I start becoming like Superman, like, oh man, we can do this, y'all. Like, yes, Lord. And I just feel like a go ahead. I feel the grace of God. And then God says, take that former Walmart and make it into the house of God. Come on, somebody. Then when God speaks to you, you can't go to other people because God didn't speak to them. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for them. Now, case in point, you can't, of course, I got to qualify all my statements, so please understand, I have overseers or pastors that speak into my voice. I'll wait to them. Hey, this is what I feel the Lord speaking to me. What do you think? They give me wisdom on it, and they're going to confirm it or tell me, hey, this is how you would take on something like that. Don't be that person that builds and can't finish. Does that make sense? So you get strategy from your overseers. The Bible says that wisdom is found in the in counsel of advisors, right? Safety is found. And so you need to have that in your life, but you need to hear from God on that. That makes sense. Okay, are you following me? You follow me, okay? So God speaks to you. When God speaks to you, that's how you move. This building, this Walmart building, it was a word from God. I was in prayer, and the Lord told me, call him that you want to buy it. It wasn't for sale. It was for lease. So I told God, it's not for sale. It's for lease. Like God didn't know that. You ever try to tell God something like you don't know? Hey, Lord, I don't know if you realize, it's not on the MLS. It's not listed. It's not listed in commercial, you know, on Crexy. It's not listed as a commercial real estate. It's not listed. And God's like, call him and tell him you want to buy it. So I go, okay. So I call him. Hey, so how much is the lease? Pray for me. Oh, yeah, really? Okay, cool. And all right, well, if we were to lease it, we probably want to do like a first right of refusal, or if you ever were to sell it, we're like the first one. And I'm over here dancing around, you know. I know you're all so full of faith, just pray for me because God's growing me, okay? So I'm like, you know, maybe, you know, well, if we were, and I'm dancing around the point, you know. And he goes, well, let me talk to the owners, dancing around. And he calls back and he said, and they tell me, he goes, well, they said, why don't you buy it right now? And I was like, I'm glad you brought that up. You know what I'm saying? Here I am, Mr. Man of Faith and Power. You know what I'm saying? You know. And we got into escrow something that wasn't even for sale. But where did it come from? It came from prayer. I'm telling somebody, God's going to speak to you. He's going to guide you to do some things that nobody else can give you a strategy for. Of course, I talked to my overseers, pastors, and speaking of my life. And of course, they gave me strategy on how you would do something like that. You know, and the first question they asked me, you guys know Pastor Benny was like, well, do you have the faith for it? Did God speak to you? You know, I said, yes, sir. You know, I said, okay, well, I'll come into agreement, you know? And so, God, and these are moments, listen, I'll never forget. And I want to give you some examples because I'm also working out my salvation with fear and trembling, okay? I'm building my family. And I'll never forget, I got out of college. And when I got out of college, I was always just intrigued by the finance world. And so when I got out of school and I ended up applying to get my Series 7 and my Series 6, I was a member of the New York Stock Exchange, investment advisor, private banker. And there's a big firm in Los Angeles. And I had submitted my resume and all that. And I'm like, oh, they're not going to hire me. They're doing a big cattle call and basically saying, if you're interested, we're hiring it. And I'm like, oh, and they called me for an interview, and I was like, I'm not going to go. And my wife, remember, we were living in an apartment over here in Fullerton. We were apartment managing, and I was like, well, you know, and I had this, like, identity issue. I'm like, they're not going to hire me. How am I going to go? I studied theology. I'm going to go work finance. And I'm there. I'm not going. And the Holy Spirit says, you need to go. So I got myself dressed, took my shower, put on my suit, which some of you that do interviews, iron your shirt. I'm trying to help you, okay? Can't be showing up to interviews with a wrinkled shirt. Okay. Man, I better stop. Iron your shirt. Okay, so I get on my suit. I go over there and brush your teeth, by the way. Come here. And so I get over there. And when I get there, out of thousands of applicants, I was one of the 100 people they hired. Favor of God on my life. Guidance. And I'm just talking to somebody that maybe there's an area, God, you have to know the source. God will guide those who pray. Okay, this is free of charge. You guys are going to like this one because y'all love the cheese mitt. I know how you guys are. I know. Just kidding. All right. You know, I'll never forget, I was in Bible college, and when I was in Bible college, I had been seeking God just on life decisions. You know, when you're that age of just, which way should I go? What should I do? Who should I marry? What direction? You know, God, do you want me to pastor? God, this and that. And I was just in that transition part of life. And that could happen to you at any age. But for me, it was that moment. And there have been on my, I can tell you, not like every day, but on one hand, I've had such encounters with God that have been so vivid. And I pray that all of you have at least one of those. When you know God's real because he's real because you experienced him. And I remember I was sitting in my college room and I went on a fast because I was like, Lord, it wasn't because the church was fasting or the pastor said to fast. Like, God, I just want to know you for my life. And I was praying and I had a holy visitation from God in my dorm room. And this might be a little too heavy for some of y'all, but you're going to learn today. Come on, somebody, all right? But I had a holy visitation from God. And I was awake but asleep. And a wind came in my room. I mean, just strong. It was warm, but I knew the presence of God was there. And the Lord gave me a specific time. Boom. That's all he gave me. And I go, wow. And I awoke from this vision. I knew it was a visitation from God. I wrote out that time on my phone as an alarm. And I had forgotten about it, and the day went on, time went on, and I end up supposed to be at this one place that night, and I end up, you know, missing the freeway, and that stuff happened, and I end up showing up, and when I get to that party, as soon as I shake this girl's hand, Marie Villacana, the alarm goes off. And I'm like, okay. And I think, I got an amen from my wife. If you're watching online, I got an amen from my wife. And it was a moment where God's like, this is a future for you. And would you think me and Pastor Marie were supposed to be men together to build the kingdom? Yes, I like to believe. Yeah. And And by the way, don't be weird and steal my testimony. Be like, I'm gonna send an alarm and go shake this person's hand. Okay, that's just weird, bro. Okay? So don't be ripping out my testimony, all right? So I'd be like, look, like Pastor Josiah. No, okay? Okay. The Lord spoke to me. Which don't do that stuff, okay? So I didn't tell her, oh my goodness, you know, like it's kind of creepy, you know what I'm saying? Like, anyway, so the point I'm making is, are you seeking God? Because prayer is covered guidance where God will guide you. When you go to the source, you're like, I don't have, and I want to say, we don't have time to mess around. We don't have time to be caught up fighting the wrong fights and the wrong battles and the wrong giants in the wrong area. It's time to be more effective, and we get effective when we pray. God guides you and you take the right route to see God move in your life. Come on, give God a praise. Amen. Last verse. I'm not going to finish the outline. I owe you some points. Just stand to your feet. Come on, somebody. I know what time it is. Don't rush me. Don't rush me, okay? It's like when my mom is cooking. Don't rush me if you want it good. You know? If you want it fast, then do a microwave food. You know what I'm saying? So let me read this out. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. Here's what the scripture says. It says this. It says, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. And what does the Bible say? And lean not on your own what? Understanding. I'll just stop it right there. That's the challenge of life as the piano player starts playing here, is that we need to trust him in prayer. That Holy Spirit, we trust you. And that is shown, watch this now, when you pray. I want us all to bow our heads right now. I want to lead you through this. Yeah, I left some room here in the service because I want you to begin to apply this. We can't teach on prayer and not pray. That makes no sense, right? We're going to do a series on prayer. We're not actually going to do it. We're just going to, you know what I'm saying? Like, we actually have to do this stuff. That's the only way it works. It's like a diet. I don't care how much I read about it. Not helping me. Anyway, bow your head. Come on, let's focus on God. Lord, I want you to say this one, everybody together. Because I feel like there's some people here, Fullerton, maybe Irvine, online, Española, there's some people that you need guidance. Amen. Yes, it is. Come on, help us, Lord. We need to pray for guidance. And that guidance, God will speak to you. Listen, he will speak to you. He will speak to you. And my aim out of this message this morning is you have such a hunger for God to speak to you, for him to guide you. And sometimes, if I'm honest, it's not what you want to do, it's what God is telling you should do. And you know, like your flesh, like, man, I don't want to do it, but I know that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what I'm supposed to do. You'll know when you're knower if you're spirit-filled. You'll know when you're knower. It'll always honor God's word. It'll always draw you closer to him. But I'm telling you, it's the most effective way. God guides those who pray. Don't leave him out. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor no human mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. He has that prepared for you. God is omnipresent. That doesn't just mean that he's in Orange County and he's also in New York. Omnipresent means that he's in your present and he's also in your future. It hurts your brain. It's like metaverse stuff. He is in your future. And you can begin to pray and God begins to orchestrate the days you haven't even lived yet. It's bigger than me, so don't ask me to break that down to you. But when you pray, he is omnipresent. He begins to heal your past. He begins to fill you in your present. And he even begins to work the future all according to his plan. But you have to pray. You have to pray. And if you don't pray, then nothing will be loosened. If you don't pray, then nothing will be bound. Now, I understand, listen, I got theology, I love theology. We got a Bible college here, tons of students. Yes, God is sovereign. He is sovereign. He does what he wants when he wants. But the sovereign God has left some things in this thing called prayer. And he said, I have wrapped it in prayer. And if you don't pray, it won't be loosened. And if you don't pray, it won't be bound up. The responsibility is on us. And husbands, men of God, you better be binding devils for your home every single day. Oh yeah, you ought to clap. Come on, dads. Yes, men of God. You better be binding. You better be, God, So there's stuff you can't fight this stuff with your hands. You can only fight it in prayer. You gotta be loosening. Mama, start loosening the blessing of God. Start loosening the protection of God. But Father, thank you for your guidance. Just say this when you say, Lord, I need your guidance. And say, Lord, forgive me where I've gone more to resources when I should have gone to the source. You're the source that flows from heaven into my life.